Yeah, first of all, thank you. I also thank to the Professor Komsky to invite me here at the program. So, my name is Takamo Itomo from Nagoya University of Japan. So my talk is on the effect structure of the several half-metal compounds. So, the actual compound is the CML doped manganese and the cobalt S2 and the chromium dioxide and the double perovskite transition metal oxide. So, I have to start with the doped manganese system, which is a well-known compound as a double exchange. The possible example of double exchange system with orbital degeneracy and a strong spin charge orbital coupling. So, the ferromagnetic induction is made by the so-called double exchange induction in this compound. So, and the each manganese side has the localized T2D spin like this, and which is strongly coupled with the Eg carrier. So, so therefore the moving of this Eg carrier mediated the ferromagnetic induction between two the local spins. So this is the scenario for the ferromagnetic induction of this compound. So maybe I can skip this kind of introductions. So in the doped manganese for the W exchange systems, we have the two important physical quantities, which determines the physical quantity of this system. The one is the on-site coupling, JH, and the other is the valence boundaries of the EG band. And we have determined these important quantities by spectroscopically, and the value is 3 eV and 1 eV, respectively. So, with this energy scale, the EG state appropriately split in the upper and lower JH band. So the energy structure of the EG band is something like this, and split into the lower and upper JH band. In the lower JH band, the EG band is parallel to the local spins, local T2D spins. However, in the upper JH band, the EG spin is anti-parallel to the local T2D spins. So with this effect structure, we expect two optical transitions. One is interband transition, or the Zude type transition. The other is the interband transition, or the, we call this interband transition as simply as the J-gap transition. So this picture shows the temperature variation of the absorption coefficient of the runtime strontium manganese O3 system. And the red curve is the spectra of at 400 Kelvin, the above TC. And the blue curve is the spectra of at 4 Kelvin, below TC. And you may observe the significant spectral change at around 3 eV. We then next and estimate this spectral weight here and the plot as a function of the induced magnetization. And so the spectral weight at around CEB will increase as 1 minus m squared. So this spectral change, this scaling relation is consistent with this transition. Because this the intensity of this transition is proportional to the density of state of this area and this area. So the 1 minus m multiplied by the 1 plus m multiplied by 1 minus m is the 1 minus m squared. So this experimental relation indicates that the CEB transition can be ascribed to the J-gap transition or the interband transition between the exchange split band. And this data also shows the material dependence and for the air size dependence. And optical, the spectral weight strongly depends on the material and increases as the air size ionic radius increases. So we have estimated the oscillator strength from this value and then plot as a function of the W value. W means the one length of bandwidth estimated from the experimental data. So the W is estimated from the full width of the half maximum of the J gap band. So with this data, the oscillator strength increases at W squared. Yeah, like this. So this is because the oscillator strength is proportional to the transition matrix element, the square of the transition matrix element. And the transition matrix element is almost proportional to the transfer integral itself. So therefore, the F value is proportional to W squared. So the information of the bandwidth is directly referred to the oscillator strength of the J gap transition.
You compared the difference between the second weights at one temperature versus another.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. どうしたんでしょう? Actually, what I do is and this is T equals Kelvin and with the increase of T. And what I do, actually do is we calculate this area or this area and plot as a function of the quantization determined by which also determined by experimentally. Yes. Yeah, anyway, this is experimental data, but actually the above TC, the magnetization is almost zero. So this data is almost, most of this data is below TC data. Magnetization above TC is almost zero, so that means that this is here. For example, this is above TC, this is below TC, or almost TC.
for some material as a function of temperature.
Bound views, bound views. Okay. Yeah, almost unchanged. Yeah, this is 400 Kelvin and 200 Kelvin and 300 Kelvin and almost unchanged. Okay. So let's proceed to the detail of the temperature variation of the spectra. And this figure shows the temperature variation, temperature dependent component of absorption coefficient for the natural strontium manganese O3 with large W and the summary strontium manganese O3 with small, with narrow W. And this is actually the insulating down to the lowest temperatures. And alpha T means that we have subtracted that this temperature independent component from the spectra. This, we have subtracted this area. So for the large W compound, the J gap we decrease the temperature, the J gap transition decreases, and the spectral weight moves to the lower due to the component region. So this is very a natural case. However, if we decrease the W value, the different behavior is observed. So we decrease the temperature, J gap transition decreases. However, we observe the a new transition and here, around 1.5 dB. So in the small and narrow W compound. So we first think that in this band, this 1.5 band is due to the small polar excitation. So because this peak, this spectral shape can be well reproduced by the M into the small polar model. So with this thinking, we can estimate the important quantity. One is the polar binding energy is 0.8 dB, and the coupled Hornung frequency is about 540 centimeter inverse. So in addition, this value is very close to the manganese ore stretching mode, a feature determined by the Raman scattering measurement, 585 centimeter inverse. So we first believe that this 1.5 peak is due to the 1.5 band is due to the small polar excitations. So with this picture, we can show the important energy scale of the doped manganese as a function of the S-site ionic radius. The decrease of the perovskite S-site, ionic radius of the perovskite S-site, the TC decreases. And with decrease of TC, the bandwidth, feature experimentally determined bandwidth, the decreases. On the other hand, the polar binding energy increases. However, J value is almost constant. J value J value is the position of this, the J gap transition band, and the W value is the width of this band. And in this region, where the CMR effect is observed, the small polar band, intensity of the small polar band increases. Magnetization, the magnitude, how do you say about the magnitude of the magnetization?
Under domain here, and so when you say magnetization, is that the bulk magnetization?
Bulk. Yes, bulk magnetization. Yes, bulk.
So this system does not form domains or things like that?
Domain?
Yeah. I guess it's
phase separation. equation. Experimentally, the magnetization is the saturation magnetization doesn't change in the region. So this is the experiment, what I can answer. Magnetization is the same.
Earlier you had plots of say the spectral weight as a function of 1 minus m over m naught square. So what was that magnetization?
That is magnetization. Magnetization, the experiment that determined the magnetization.
Bulk magnetization.
Single domain sample? No. Yeah. Of course, there is a problem with the domain, with the magnetic domain. So we apply the field to the 0.5 tesla to create the domain, to make a single domain. So that's actually the magnetization. The magnetization used in this figure is magnetization measured at the 0.5 tesla. So, we consider the origin of the 0.5 band because the assignment of this band has the serious problem. So, one problem is the Dobbs manganite is a dense carrier system. Dense carrier system means that there is almost a small polar exists almost every site. Because the whole concentration or the electron concentration is the order of one. So we have to consider the inter-small polar interaction if small polar exists, even if small polar exists. The second problem is, the this band shows a strong temperature dependence. So this is the data. So this figure shows the temperature dependence of the 0.5 electron band intensity. So as you see, the intensity of this band shows a strong temperature dependence. Here, please recall that the polar binding energy estimated by the Emmons model is 0.7 to 0.8 eV, which is much larger than the large scale of the temperature. So this strong temperature dependence cannot be explained by the small polar model. So now we change the picture of this band, and we now ascribe this band to the Yampere type cluster or the charge ordering and the orbital ordering microdomain formed in the paramagnetic insulating state via the spontaneous phase separation. So with this picture, we have the two evidences, two indirect or direct evidences. One evidence is the resemblance of the spectral shape between the charge ordering state and the power initiating state. And this is the lowest panel is the optical conductivity measured by Okimoto et al. For the praseodymium calcium magnet OC systems, which shows the long range the charge and orbital ordering. In the charge and orbital ordering state, the optical waves in the lower energy region shift to the around 1.2 electron volts. This special feature is very similar to the case of the strontium. Our samarium strong tumor is OC system, which doesn't show the long range charge ordering. So this similarity suggests that the local structure is very similar. So that means that there is no long range ordering, but there exists a short range ordering. So other experimental evidence is that we observe the diffuse scattering at the same position as observed in the charge ordering compound. So this is electron diffraction data for the neodymium-stone demagnetite O3 in the charge and orbital ordered state and the samarium-stone demagnetite O3 system. This data shows long-range charge ordering. So here you observe the superlattice spots, which corresponds to the fourfold alternation of the orbital states. So if you see carefully this picture, that you may observe the diffuse scattering here at the same position of this superlattice spot. This suggests that the gyre is a short-range charge and orbital ordering state, even in the permanent insulating state.
Is it electron diffraction?
Yes. So
can you estimate length scale from this diffuse
photo layer 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks. We can't. We of course try to take a picture, take the dark field image of this compound, but failed. The intensity is too small, too weak. So our experiment stopped this. So this is our picture of the paramagnetic insulating states. Okay. And this is a separate variation of resistivity. And the resistivity shows the insulating behavior around room temperature. And at Tc, the resistivity steeply decreases and showing the metallic behavior. At around room temperature, there is a small charge and orbital ordering clusters, and inner structure is the same to the long-range charge and orbital ordering state. But with further decrease in temperature, the size or the number of the cluster increases. Of course, the inner cluster area is insulating, and outer area is metallic. However, the carrier should be scattered at the surface of the cluster. So the system showing the insulating behavior. So with further decrease in temperature, and in the ferromagnetic ordering appears. So in this region, in this temperature regions, the enhanced variance of band wheels erases all the charge ordering clusters, and the system becomes uniform. So this is our picture for this kind of the resistivity. Yeah, disappears. Okay. This is actual data. So this is a temperature-dependent component, and 1.5 electron volts peak appears here, and here is the insulator metal transition, and this component seems to burn into the dual component.
Would you estimate the size of this domain?
Yeah, no. Yeah, just very difficult. Okay. I'd like to proceed to the latter problem. In the latter part of my talk, I'd like to introduce you the reconstruction of the electric structure of the cobalt S2 and the electric structure of the chromium dioxide. And if I have enough time, I'd like to introduce you the WPO sky transition metal oxide, electric structure of the WPO sky transition metal oxide. So this is the crystal structure of the pyrite, the cobalt S2, or the so-called pyrite structure. So if you see that this is a sulfur, if you see that this sulfur dimer as a unit, the crystal structure is the same as NaCl type. So this system.
Why, maybe it's not a good question. Why do sulfur atoms form dimer? Is it simple? Why?
Is the
sulfur
forms and forms like chains or rings.
Why? This is sulfur dimer 2 minus and electron occupied in the bonding orbitals. So that is why this sulfur forms a dimer.
So what is the coordination of cobalt atom?
You
have a cobalt, and how many dimers
are? Coordination. NaCl だから1, 2, 3, 6. So the system becomes ferromagnetic below the 120 Kelvin, and this is the resistivity status. Reported by Ogawa et al. And the electric configuration of the cobalt 2 plus ion is a low spin state, which is the defined point of the perovskite transition metal oxide. And so we have the 1d electrons at each cobalt site.
How do you know
that
it's low spin?
How do you know? Magnetization or the empirical radiation. And we have grown the thin crystal of the cobalt S2 compound by the flux method. And this is a magnetization, temperature variation of magnetization, and the field variation of the magnetization data for our thin crystal. And the magnetization steeply jumps at 120 Kelvin. And the magnetization also steeply increases and then saturates at around 0.9 μB. So 50 is very close to the ideal value. Ideal value is 1 μB per quart size.
Yes,
thin crystal. Because this is very low field magnetization. Very low field. So almost this is the susceptibility. Magnetization, but almost the susceptibility curve. Because only 0.0 tesla. So if you increase the magnetic field, the curve is something like this. So really, this data is almost susceptible. So we have measured the reflectivity spectra for this thin crystal at room temperature. The experimental data is this solid curve. And we have analyzed this curve with the dual two long length oscillator model because there are two peaks. And the peak wave corresponds to the F expansion from the P2G level to the EG level, oncopied EG level. And the peak P corresponds to the optical F expansion from the P2G level to the antibonding level of the sulfur dimer P star. Yes, metallic. Yes, metallic. Yes, metallic.
What was the
Q temperature? The Q temperature is 120. So this is permanent state. And we also measure the temperature variation of the refugee spectra and have found that the spectra change very much. So the black and red curve is in the permanent state, and blue and green curve are in the permanent state. So we have analyzed the spectral change with the above mentioned the Lorentz oscillator model to derive the resonance energy and the oscillator strength of the two disk optical transitions. So this is the result. So the amount of resonance energy of the function B decreases at TC. And oscillator strength also shows the significant change at TC. And first of the oscillator strength of the transition A decreases, and the oscillator strength of transition B increases. So such a significant change of the optical spectra should be ascribed to the deconstruction of the electric structure of the cobalt S2 due to the change of the full metallic permanent state to the half metallic permanent state. This is a schematic picture of the density of state. So in the permanent state, the density of state is the same, is the same for both the spin direction. So here is the P2G level and EG level and the antibonding P star level. And we observe the two optical transitions here. And in the half metallic permanent state, the EG level and the D level should split into the up spin state and down spin state.
So for how many electrons do you have in the EG level?
One per cobalt site. One.
And why is not the band completely fixed in the bottom graph?
The degenerate state.
Sorry?
In the
ferromagnetic
state, why don't you have a completely filled band and an empty band?
Double degenerate, yeah, up and down spin. The quarter filling, just in the quarter filling. So, yeah, with this electric structure, in the up spin state, this EG state shift toward the down, shift to the lower energy side. So that results in the larger splitting of the EG and the D and P level. So this large splitting results in the surface of the PD hybridization. So as a result, intensity of this optical transition should suppress because the DD transition is optically forbidden. On the other hand, in the downspin level, the EG level shifts to the the higher energy state, so which enhances the PD hybridization. So as a result, the oscillator strength increases.
Occupied.
Well below
What is the energy scale? Occupied.
Occupied. あ、ビデオ。あ、どこなんだろう。Maybe. So this is the bank calculation, the reported bank calculation. Maybe the P of calculated here.This is P level. So anyway, this is a very schematic picture, and this is actual band calculation. And so the such a schematic the picture is reproduced by this, the actual band calculation.So, next. Yes. EJ.
Yeah?
Yeah, are you going to...
What is actually
the resistivity at
lower
temperature? Yeah, very good. Yeah, this is a good metal. Yeah, 10 to minus 6 micro ohm centimeter. It's about micro ohm centimeter. 10 to minus 6 or 10 to minus 5 ohm centimeter at the Kelvin. The very good metal.Yeah, this corresponds to TC.
Is there a large
magnetic resistance? There is no large magnetic resistance. Only small magnetic resistance.
What is actually temperature dependence of resistivity at low temperature?
No, this is not my data, so I actually can't answer to your question.
And is the resistivity anomalizing at the higher temperature resistance roughly linear? You have up to 200 degrees Kelvin. Are there data available up to higher temperature? Resistivity data?
This is not my data, so this is only.
Different.Any of them for orbital ordering?
Orbital ordering?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mostly paramagnetic.
Yes. There is no evidence for the orbital ordering.
What is evidence for cosmic
energy? How metallic? No.Yeah, there is no direct evidence, but indirect evidence there is one is the band calculation, and the other is the magnetization, absolute value of the magnetization. This is the indirect evidence.
But if it would be a half metal, then the magnetization could be, maybe it's in the orbital, but the magnetization could be integral.
Yes.But very close to the ideal value. But there is no spectroscopical evidence for that. The angle, the spin of the potential spectroscopy or something like that.I don't know. That's a very difficult question. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Yeah, Sonata.
There's no local moments above the sort of area transition.
Local?
Well, it's a fidelity above. It is
to read. Yeah, I have no data. So, I would like to proceed to the electric structure of the chromium dioxide. The chromium dioxide, in this system, the chromium ion is surrounded by the 6 oxygens and forming the chromium O6 octahedra. But the octahedral network of the octahedra is defined from the perovskite oxide. And on the C direction, the disk of the head shares the site. So we also make the film of the chromium dioxide by the chemical vapor deposition method. And this is the temperature variation with magnetization and field dependent magnetization. And the saturated magnetization is around 2 mu V, which is equals to the ideal value of 2 mu V, because the chromium 4 plus has 2 d electrons. So that this is equals to the ideal value. So we have measured the absorption spectra for these films. And this is temperature variation with absorption spectra. And the red curve is above TC. TC is yeah, around here, 400 was after the 390 Kelvin. So red curve is about DC and black curve is below DC. So you may observe the three, at least in this region, the three temperature-dependent sense components. So to see the detail of this structure, we show the differential absorption spectra, magnified differential absorption spectra here. And differential absorption spectra means that we subtracted the data at 450 Kelvin. So the red curve is the high temperature and the black curve is the low temperature. So we decrease temperature, the absorption band around 1.5 Kelvin, 1.8 electron volt decreases, and the intensity of this component increases. So,
this is
D2 and D2. T2G, yes. Only 2 D electrons. T2G level, in the T2G level. Okay. So we calculate this area and plot as a function of the magnetization. So magnetization is, this magnetization means the magnetization under field of 0.5 tesla. So, and the spectral weight will scale to the M square. This behavior is reminiscent of the case of the top magnet. Okay. When we finish this experiment, that we found the papers by Cochin et al. So they have calculated this compound by means of the LSDA plus U method. And their conclusion is that in this system, the T2G level should be classified into the two bands. One is localized state, other is itinerant state. Itinerant state is strongly hybridized with oxygen P state. So this structure is very similar to the doped magnetite, with the local spins and itinerant electrons. So with these pictures, we try to assign the observed three temperature-dependent components. With that picture, the electric structure of the itinerant P2G band can be described like this. Due to the strong coupling with the local spins, the itinerant EG band split into the lower and upper GH band. So with this electric structure, we expect the two transitions. One is interband transition, the other is the J-gap transition. In addition to this optical transitions, we further consider the excitation of the local spins. So as a result, we expect the four optical transitions. So the position of the band can be described as 0, J, the delta is this speaking, and delta plus J. So with this optical transitions, we can assign the three optical components like this. So this component corresponds to the excitation of the itinerant carrier to the dance spin side. And this component corresponds to the local spin, excitation of local spin to the up spin side, and this corresponds to the dance spin side. So with this assignment, we can estimate the J value at 0.5 dB, and the energy splitting is 1.0 dB.
What is the
experimental
duty control?
390 kV.
This J is the point J?
Yes, point J.
Are there other estimates of that value that are larger?
Are they explained
as
Typical value is 0.8.
Yes. Okay. In the transition toward the downspin side, the component should decrease with decreasing temperature. However, the transition toward the upspin side, upspin components, the intensity increase with decreasing temperature. Because if you consider the polarization, spin polarization, so we can correct the link assigned to this transition.
For just similar experiments on transition metals, iron or nickel, do you observe this kind of structure?
We don't do such kind of experiments.
Numbers later that I'm going to put that right there.
sort of a yielding point to maybe this is getting to our topic, but the shift is not really unexpected because it's been sort of scattered from the same postulate, which is really normalized.
If this assignment is correct, we can determine the energy scale of the carbon dioxide if you see the system as a double exchange system. So,
one seems to be rather strange. Bandwidth in.
Yes. In too small.
Smaller than.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I have some excuse on this point. Yeah, if we estimate the boundary from this spectra, the value is 0.4. But the two components, the spacing of the two components is very close. So in this case, we can't exactly estimate this boundary because the actual boundary is made larger. But they are overlapped. So this is a lower limit. The actual boundary is made larger. So. Okay. So my first, the final talk is on the WPF by transition meta-oxide. In this system, the crystal structure is a perovskite, and the pitch consists of the octahedral, the metal octahedral. The double perovskite systems, the B-side cation is alternating and forming the NaCl type orden. And
chemical formula.
And this octahedral, in this octahedral, there is a transition metal, conventional transition metal, 3DF, 3D transition metal. And in the blue octahedral, we choose a 4D or 5D transition metal. So my first concern is the transition metal dependence of the electromagnetic property of these systems. So we synthesize several compounds, we change the transition metal size. So this is the example for the X-ray diffraction pattern. And in the manganese compound and the cobalt compound, so we can do the synchrotron radiation X-ray experiment and do the little phase analysis and have determined the actual oxygen position. And this is the magnetic properties as a function of the transition metal species. And in the iron compound, the magnetic moment is observed. And on the other hand, in the mangan or the cobalt compound, the system is the paramagnetic down to the 50 Kelvin.
What is the combination which makes it paramagnetic? Manganese and molybdenum?
Yeah, are you talking about
iron? Iron is very large. Iron
is very large. Actually, the Fe but yeah. Actually, the Fe type. Actually, the Fe. Okay, and this is the resistivity data, and the iron compound, which shows the large magnetization how the meta shows the meta behavior. On the other hand, other three compounds the initiating behavior observed. So this table shows the interaction between the magnetic and transport properties. The above this compound is our result, and this compound in this compound are cited from the work by Slade et al. And as we draw the red lines, and this column shows the TCs, magnetic function temperatures, and the saturation magnetization, and the resistivity of room temperatures. The, as we draw the red lines, the compound with high TC, very large TC, has the very low resistivity of room temperatures. So I think that this suggests that the magnetic interaction between the 3D transition metal ions may be mediated by the iterant carriers. I'd like to show our recent result of the optical conductivity spectra of the WPO sky system. This is reflectivity, and this is the optical conductivity calculated from the chromatic transformation data. The first of all, we observe the steep peaks at around 2 eV, independently of the transition metal, 3D transition metal species. So this feature is make a sharp contrast with the perovskite type transition metal oxide. So this is optical conductivity data, and the CT transition, this red arrows shows a strong the transition metal dependence. This is a layer type system. So this suggests that this strong intense band cannot be assigned to the CT transition towards the 3D transition metal, but the CT transition from the oxygen 2P state is a molybdenum 4D level. So, and if so, the peaks and the peaks resonance energy suggests that the 4D valence state of the molybdenum 4D level is the same for this compound. The other important point of this spectra is this region. In this region, you may observe the weak but finite spectral weight. Such a feature is also observed in the transition metal, perovskite type transition metal oxide. So, for example, the titanium or bergium systems. In these systems, here is a steep intense band due to the charge transfer type excitation, and here is a weak excitation due to the MOT type excitations. So, therefore, we tentatively assign this weak transition to the MOT type transition between the molybdenum 4D state. So, this is my picture on this compound. If the molybdenum 4D state is the D1, in the insulating systems, the molybdenum 4D level shows a gap feature due to the on-site Coulomb interaction. Of course, the on-site Coulomb interaction of the 4D level is very small as compared with the 3D transition metal. However, looking at the crystal structures, the spacing between the molybdenum site is about 8 angstrom, which is double of the conventional transition metal, perovskite type transition metal oxide. So, with these structures, even the small on-site Coulomb diffusion could open the gap near the frame level. So if 3D level locates on the frame level, then the mix, the 4D and the 3D mixed level bound the erase gap. And this is the situation for the metallic ion compound. So once the gap is vanishing, the on-site exchange coupling will cause the deconstruction of the electric structure and cause the half-metallic electric structure. This is my picture on this material. Anyway, we are at the starting point of the double purified functional metal oxide, and I have many questions on this compound. And to answer to these questions, we have to do the many experimental investigations, especially the spectroscopic and the structural and the magnetic investigations on the well-characterized crystalline samples. So we further try to investigate the chemical pressure effects as well as the doping effects to understand the electric structure of this double pure sky transition metal oxide. Thanks for attention.
Intrinsic, this is very small, but extrinsic may be quite large. My query, they made, they press powder, and then they strong effect, but due to quantum disintegration. But in good films, they're really nice. Essentially the same as
iron, are up, and molybdenum, and down.
Molybdenum?
so to say, regulator, turn on the light.
So what is the moment of Malaysia?
What
is the band structure called?
But you mentioned some neutron data. You mentioned some neutron data. Chromium is not clear. Chromium is very slight moment, and manganese and cobalt are non-magnetic. Down to 15 or 57.
Okay, water or
not
just the metal?
Well,
no local magnetic.
Can you show magnetic susceptibility or magnetic data once again?
No.
See, it looks as though this manganese and cobalt.
Cobalt shows some bordering, does it?
Cobalt, maybe. Charge carrier.
It's not normally very small like in the higher.
But you have optical data, then you can probably estimate it from some rule, from optical integrating optical data. So what would you get? Then thank you once again. And,